Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Vital Voices.
What if leadership wasn't about titles, but about habits that transform teams and futures? Today, we're sitting down with Patrice Taylor, CEO of Hefsiba HR Training and Development, to unpack her journey from HR leader to founder and the vision behind Live to Lead and Live to Lead Youth. We'll get practical about what attendees can expect, why these events matter right now for businesses and for teens, and how to turn inspiration into Monday morning action. So let's dive in. Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of the people shaping the future of our communities, our conversations, and our country. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows. Thank you for joining us for the nation's most vital conversations where insight meets impact. Today, I'm speaking with Patrice Taylor about her story, the Live to Lead and Live to Lead Youth experiences, and what they are, who they're for, and how they equip leaders at every level. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Alexis.
So this is such an interesting space that we as a show find ourselves in. 2 to 3 weeks ago, we had Annette Cash on talking about her Unleash Your Power event. Our most recent episode that came out last week, we had Ahmad Thompson on talking about his Disrupt HR event. Mm-hmm. And during that conversation, he mentioned, you know, he's going to the next conference and he was also going to yours. And I think he's hosting the youth version of your event as well.
Yes.
And he said, you know, he's trying to get in all this leadership information as much as possible. And I'm like, you know, let's get Patrice on the show. Let's cover everybody who's doing the HR and the leadership and the training, because the events are back to back to back.
Yes.
Which I found to be so interesting. So I was like, let's just take it and let's just run with it. And so we are excited to have you on the show to talk about your experience, you know, how you transitioned into your own business as yes. opposed to, you know, working directly in HR in a corporate sense. What led you to the Live to Lead conference events, and then, you know, just kind of unpack all that, what people can expect. We're excited to talk about that with you. So let's start at the beginning, because Ahmad gave me a very small snippet of your story. But for listeners who may be meeting you for the first time, who is Patrice Taylor in a sentence or two?
Okay. Patrice Taylor, to meet me, is to understand my passion. Patrice Taylor is a very passionate individual, passionate about people, right? The three P's, and it's no coincidence my name begins with a P, but the three P's are purpose, passion, and people. Those are my modus operandi. And so to meet Patrice Taylor is to understand that she now understands her purpose. She's a person who for a while did not. And so my ambition now is to make sure that I help others to find their purpose. Because once you find your purpose, passion follows. And then you're able to impact people.
That's awesome. I like that. I always like when people have things that you could just easily digest like that. It makes it very simple and easy to understand. So what early experiences that you've been in HR for decades yes. prior to moving out onto your own. But you know, what early experiences put you into the space of people leadership and culture work and just even into the general area of HR?
Okay, so my evolution into HR was exactly that. It kind of evolved. I was in private banking all of my career, over 30 years now. And I'd say I've been in about the first 7 years I was doing accounting, because that was what I went to school to do. And just through someone being on vacation and the financial controller asking me to help her with HR, I kind of evolved over there into that seat, literally. And when the person that for whom I was filling in came back, I was asked to stay in HR. Did I like it and would I like to stay? And I guess what my answer was? Yes, indeed. I'd found my thing. And so I had a business degree already, so I started to now be specific about growing myself in the area of HR and doing courses and that sort of thing, aligning with BSHRM, Bahamas Human Resource Association, it was called at that time. And I realized that I'd found my thing. And then I went on to do a master's degree in psychology. Funny story, I went because Barry University was advertising that they were going to do a master's degree in human resources and organizational development. I signed up for it, got invited to an interview, went for the interview, and they informed me that, oh no, we're not doing that anymore. And I was like, well, why did you bring me here? They said, well, we're still doing something in school counseling. And I said, I'm not a teacher. I'm in HR. Why am I here? So they then rolled out all the documents to show me how people are people anywhere that you go. What you are going to learn through this master's degree will help you in your role as an HR manager because you deal with people every day. And can I tell you, I'm glad that I did it. And so I am an HR practitioner with a degree in school counseling. Right?
That's it's interesting. But I mean, they're right. People are people no matter where they are. We had this conversation with one of the pediatricians a while back. And it's like, you know, in a lot of ways, children, kids are just baby adults. And so a lot of the same needs, desires, passions, it's just there in sometimes a misunderstood version of it, yes, or, you know, a not fully actualized version of it, but it's still the same thing. And so at the end of the day, it's absolutely correct. Yeah. You know, I also find it funny because, you know, psychology, you find people in psychology in a lot of different areas. You find them in HR, you find, yes, them in marketing.
Yes.
You find them obviously in the traditional psychology spaces. So, you know, talk therapy, things like that, guidance counselors.
Yes.
You know, it's a wide range of options and opportunities that exist in that space. But I can see how obviously it fits in the HR space because you have people who are dealing with all of life.
Absolutely.
And they come into the organization to work, but all of that still filters in, all of that still impacts how they are, who they are, even on the job.
And how they show up on the,
yes,
job, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always say to people that when we show up to work at work, we don't leave our personal life at the door and then walk in. Although a lot of organizations want you to do that, right? But that just does not happen. But before I go down a different tangent, let me continue how I got into this space that I'm in now. So I'm going along my moseying along my way, and here comes COVID. I'm giving you the brief version. Here comes COVID. I'm working from home, doing HR, all set up with company equipment at home and everything. And I get a call. And that call is from my managing director. Now I'm the VP. I'm one of the VPs of HR in the private banking sector. And I get a call that, hey, Patrice, I'm here with the next VP, who is actually my supervisor. And, well, we have something we want to say to you. And, okay, I'm all ears. And, well, we have to let 15 people go. And unfortunately, today will be your last day because you're going to be one of them. And I will tell you, Alexis, my response was puzzling to my then 16-year-old. So he comes into the kitchen where I took the call, and he says, what just happened? Because I'm dancing. And he's like, what happened? And I'm shouting out to my husband who's working from home. I said, guess what? I got the call. The call. The call. And he said, what? I said, yes. They said, this is my last day. I go into my system to log out. There was no need. I was already out of the system. They had me already out of the system, okay? And so that call was 3 minutes and 7 seconds. A 23-year long career in that company as a VP of HR, and a phone call that ended after 3 minutes and 7 seconds, and the curtains came down on my HR career.
You know, it's such a, people sometimes hear stories like that and they think that doesn't happen in real life, right? So what you're talking about reminds me of a clip from This Is Us that's been rotating in my shorts feed on YouTube for the last like 4 or 5 months. And one of the main characters, his father passed away, and the company that he'd worked at for 2 decades helped build it into what it was from the ground up. they sent him, I think it was a fruit basket that had pears in it, and he was allergic to pears, which the person who hired him would have known because he had an allergic reaction at their first meeting. But basically, it was that, and it was like just a lame Hallmark card that says, all the best from the team. And this is somebody who had poured his life into that business. And so I think we see things like that on TV sometimes, and we think that this doesn't happen in real life.
Right?
But then you hear someone like you tell your story, and it very much happens
absolutely.
In real life. The dancing, though. Explain the dancing to me. Because now I'm sitting here like the 16-year-old. I'm like, wait, what? We're dancing? Because, I mean, a two-plus decade career.
Yes.
And someone's just saying, okay, it's over. They already logged you out of the system, all of that. You know, why the dancing?
So the dancing came because there's a thing called premonition.
Mm.
And because I am a person of faith, it's beyond premonition.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. There's a scripture that talks about, I will tell you what is to come.
Mm-hmm.
I even had a dream about it, that I was called into this room. I told my husband, I have this dream. I said, something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That morning I woke up. We took a walk in our neighborhood because finally we could go outdoors and have a walk in the neighborhood. Remember, we were locked down. So we went out, we had a walk, and I said to him, I said, something is going to break today. He said, how do you know? I said, I feel it in my spirit.
Wow.
Right? Then I'm on the phone right after that. I'm on the phone with my mom, and I told my mom, I said, Mommy, that call is coming. She said, you think so? Listen to this, Alexis. You're not going to believe this. While we're speaking, there was a beep. And I said, oh, I have a call coming in right now. This is Mr. calling me.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, you think that's the call? I said, it probably is. So I was not surprised, but I was also preparing.
Yeah.
Because I knew about 2 years prior that I'd gotten to that place where I'd plateaued.
Right.
I still love being an HR practitioner, an HR leader, but I knew that there was more. I would look outside the window over at the ocean because we were in my office. I could see the ocean, and I would say, Lord, there has to be more for me. I would be wheeling myself out of my car on my lunch break saying, Lord, I got to go back inside.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there's more. When you get to that point where you know there's more, but you don't have the guts, you don't have the strength, you don't have the faith to launch out into the deep, sometimes our good and kind, loving Savior has to pull the curtain down to launch you from the brook into the river.
I always tell people, my wife and I have had this conversation before, there's a difference between being nice and being kind. Being nice is you sugarcoating and all that. Being kind is, I'm going to give you the tools that you need to be prepared for what's
coming.
That's
right.
Even if it's a tough pill to swallow, but you have the time and the effort and the energy to prepare. It's funny because, you know, my wife would always say to me in the last 2 or 3 years, she's like, yeah, this is where you are. It's not for long. Like she saw the writing on the wall, and I'm like, no, but like I just got promoted and I got a raise and I'm loving the job. I was able to expand my team. We're doing such great work. And she was like, yes, but at the same time, where God is taking you, this is not long term.
Absolutely.
And so I remember, it's funny because today is the 8th of September that we're recording this. And it was September 11th last year when I put in my resignation.
Oh, wow.
So it's been just about a year now since I resigned from that position. And I remember, like, I knew probably, so she knew from about a year or two before I did. And thank God that, you know, he gave her way advanced money.
Yes.
I was a little bit slow on the uptake. But I think it was probably about a month or two before that, it felt like, no, it really is the time.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's the same thing. You kind of felt like you'd done everything you could in that role, and you've also come to a point where it's like, well, okay, where do I go from here? Like,
exactly.
Even if I'm looking for another job, like, there's not a ton of chief marketing officer jobs out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're looking at it and you're surveying the landscape, and it's like, okay, I think it really is just time to kind of step out on
That's
my
right.
own.
That's right.
And it's a very scary at first, it's a very scary thing to kind of wrap your head around. And I know Amaya told me he had a similar story. It's like he just felt God saying, like, it's time. And so I find it funny because, you know, for people of faith, I think you get to these places And God is just like, no, there's more over here. Trust me, there's more over here. Yes. And the more might not be financial. It might just be impact. It might be the way you're able to help people, you know.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, hearing your story, I definitely walked out after having handed in my resignation with a smile on my face, not in a mean way, like not being disrespectful of the organization that I worked at, but just
that's
knowing
the smile
that
of peace.
Right, but it's just knowing that this is the right direction.
Yes.
And in some ways you just feel like, you know, I always tell people this, and this for anyone who's listening that's been anywhere that I've worked at, this applies to every place that I've worked at. I've always approached it where if I can see the writing on the wall, I'm going to be ahead of the curve because I'm not going to sit back and let someone say, oh, hey, come in, you know, and that was just my approach.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And so every time that I left, it was always like, I like to use the sports analogy. You want to leave before you get to, like, you know, that last season when your body's broken down. You say you like track and field.
Yes.
So it's like when you can't run, you know, that 100 meters in a sub 10 second time anymore, you want to leave before that.
That's
so
right.
I've always approached it with, if I can see that this is where this is going, for whatever reason, then that means I'm going to make sure I'm out ahead of that. It's just in this case, it wasn't, okay, I'm on to the next job. It was, okay, now you're on to building your own thing, which is an interesting and wide, wonderful world of crazy.
It sure is. It is.
You know, I always like to ask people when, now, I might just be ignorant. I'm not familiar with the name. Why, and I'm going to try and pronounce this again, to make sure I pronounce this right, Hefzibah.
Oh, wow, you did a great job with that.
Why that name? Because that, I'm sure there's a meaning there.
Yes, there is a meaning. So, about, I'm going to date myself if I tell you, about 20 years ago, no, about maybe about 10, between 10, 15 years ago, every time, there's a practice that I do every time, right before I have a birthday, I take some time to fast and to pray and to get a word for what's next, the next season of my life. That's what anchors me. And I did that. I was having a birthday, and this, I was taken to Isaiah chapter 62. And that talks about, in verse 2, talks about, and I will give you a new name, straight from the mouth of God, Hefzibah. And I wrote that down, and I said, God, you're talking to me. Hefzibah is going to be my new name. I didn't know when, why, how.
Oh, wow.
But I wrote it down. And it was not until right before COVID, a friend of mine, Isora Kambabacha, no, she doesn't mind me calling her name, she said to me, are you interested in teaching some HR certification courses? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, well, I'm starting a business. I'm teaching the lower level one. You're qualified to teach the higher level one. You can do that. And she said, why don't you launch your business during the same time? Right? Right before COVID. And I said, okay, I will. So she put me on to, and I'm calling names because these are people in who I really credit, you know, for my journey, for launching me. Nathaniel Butler, a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, whom I respect, he called me. He was the person who she put me on to say, well, okay, go ahead and call Nathaniel and see if he can help you with this business. He called me one day. I remember where I was on the highway. He said, oh, you never gave me a name for the business? And I said, I have to call you back because I don't have a name in mind. So I'm driving along.
And it hit you.
What hit me? Hefzibah. I said, Lord, it took you about 10 years to bring this name back to me?
That was seeds planted.
Yeah, that was it. I now understood why he gave it to me. And you know what it means? My delight is in her. And what's so significant about that entire chapter, Isaiah chapter 62, it ends like this. No longer will you be called desolate. You are now sought after. For me, I was a person who struggled for years with low self-esteem. That was my nemesis, low self-esteem. And that was what had me stuck and not willing to take the plunge and to go out, right? But during COVID, I had my unlocking period where, because we couldn't go anywhere, God was working on me in that time, just churning some things, fixing some things. And I made my upstairs bathroom, master bathroom, Bethel, the place where I would meet God every day. And I came out of there, out of COVID, transformed with a renewed mind that, yes, God has created me for a purpose that is bigger than me. Yes, I am worth it. Yes, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in His image. It took me all of those years to go back. He took me back to my childhood when I, because I was called Blackie, right? Not in a derogatory way, not in a mean way. That was a pet name. Just looking at me, that was just a nickname, right? And my uncle, whom I loved dearly, he called me that, but didn't realize that that was sowing some seeds that I didn't realize were there. His term of endearment was an ensnarement for my soul. That was keeping me stuck. And so when I showed up with that badge on me.
Right. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at top of the hill, Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-32-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation. It's you know, I think one of the things that I appreciate hearing your story in more detail, you know, that COVID time, you heard so many negative stories come out of that time, right? You have, like, I know personally at least two or three marriages that ended during COVID. You know, people who either attempted to take their own life or did, like, all these different things, because the pressure, the closeness. Like, I have a friend of mine who writes articles, and he was like, you know, this thing really proved whether or not you really love that person that you were with.
Absolutely.
If you really love that job you were on, all of these different things. But I do think, hearing your story, I think that the, you know, I think the freedom from the everyday office culture helped. I think for certain people, it really helped them, and for others, it really hurt them.
Yes.
And I think hearing your story, it's like, you know, even just that physical distance, it kind of gave you the room to explore and consider. And it's so funny because, you know, God literally is planting the seed 10, 15 years before he gave you the name. And then when the moment was right, it was there for you to recall. And it's like, here you go.
And guess what? I would have missed it had he not given me that space of self-awareness.
Right, right. And then you could have gotten lost. My business name has gone through 3 iterations.
Wow.
But by the time I was ready to move on, I had the name, I had the business license. Like, we were ready to roll. There was no delay. We could just go out and work. Mm-hmm. And so I know, even from that standpoint, having something where you were ready, you're prepared, you're ready for it.
Absolutely.
And I think it goes back to your point. You know, we have a kind and a loving and a gracious God who will, you know, if we are seeking after him and paying attention, he will give us kind of that direction.
Yes.
And that, like you said, premonition, that advance warning, so we can be prepared. Because sometimes we could be stubborn and we could be, you know, we might not want to move
completely, mm-hmm. you know.
So it is amazing to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, so what do you do? You've gotten a bit of your story. What exactly does Hefsiba do? And, you know, I read through some of the information on your website, and your language is very values driven. It's very purpose based.
Yes.
I note that your training is done under the Maxwell leadership
yes.
principles, things like that. So just give us an idea of what Hefsiba is, what you're doing in that space now that you're on your own and running your own thing.
Okay, great. So I have a mentor on the Maxwell team, and when I was starting out trying to find my way,
mm-hmm.
he said, always think about it like this. You're valued in the space where people know you, like you, and trust you.
Mm.
Where people know you, like you, and trust you. He said, make that your starting point. You don't have to work hard
mm-hmm.
to gain influence in those spaces.
Mm.
So what did I know? I knew HR.
Mm-hmm.
That's the space that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Not only know it, I have a passion for it,
mm-hmm.
right? So what I now do is I go into organizations that perhaps their HR is weak,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps they don't have HR, or perhaps that organization is just failing
mm-hmm.
from a people or human capital standpoint,
mm-hmm.
high turnover, low engagement, those sorts of things. Because I have that HR background, I am able to mix the two. Where HR, from that technical standpoint of mm-hmm. policies and structure and all of those sorts mm-hmm. of things, but I also, I'm able, through the coaching and training, I'm also now able to marry the technical side
mm-hmm.
with the soft skill side.
Mm.
So Hefsiba HR and training and development is exactly that. We work with the human capital component of organizations
mm-hmm.
because what we're there to do is, our mission is to transform people to the end of transforming organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Because organizations cannot be transformed unless the people that operate in those organizations are transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've found is that whereas it's the leaders that are asking us to come into their organizations, in most instances, when we start with the top, that's where the issues
mm-hmm.
are,
mm-hmm.
right? Why? Because leaders set culture.
Yep.
Whether they know it or they don't,
mm-hmm.
they are setting culture. And so our brand is a leadership brand.
Yeah.
As you said, I've aligned with the John Maxwell team. And why I did that was, funny thing, while I was still at the bank, I was looking into how I could bring this values-driven
mm-hmm.
type of leadership into the bank. And during COVID, I made a proposal to the bank and said, hey, I want to get certified with this,
mm-hmm.
and I have a plan where we could work with our leaders and bring them up to speed. Our head office in Switzerland said, no, ma'am. And I was bruised. I was hurt. I was mm-hmm. like, can't these people see what we need? My husband said, listen, maybe it's just not for them. Now, he didn't even know what he was saying at the time.
Listen, the spouses, in as much as they don't know, there's no. God has put it in their spirit to tell
honestly,
us.
Right? And that's, and then so after that, I got a call from the John Maxwell team.
Mm-hmm.
Still to this day, don't know, but they said someone recommended me. And would I be interested in becoming a certified coach, trainer, speaker?
Right.
I looked into it. I said, I'll get back to you. Because I looked at what it costs. I said, whoa! Oh, my God. Right? But after the curtain came down, that was the first...
First call.
That was my first call. Mm-hmm. Okay. The values align.
Mm-hmm.
I see an alignment between my values and what this company is espousing.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what I want to do. And the rest is history.
You know, it's amazing to hear. Boy, I wonder who recommended you.
I have no idea.
You still don't know to this day?
I still don't know to this
day. Maybe they'll come out of the woodwork
after we have
the story out there. But that's really amazing to hear. You know, and I think we often don't understand just how much leadership and the culture of leadership impacts the rest of the organization.
Absolutely.
And that stems from whether you have a leader or a leadership group that is engaged, whether they're aloof, whether even if they're engaged, if what they're trying to do is just squeeze everyone until they get the last drip out without having any care or concern for the humans that they're squeezing.
Absolutely.
You know, all of these different things do play a part. You know, it's money first above all, and we have to, but it's just like, if you kill the people who helping you make the money, you're not going to make money.
How?
I'm confused sometimes by the manner of leadership when it comes to things like that, because your people, and I think that I'm going to get to this question, and I think this may be a part of the answer, but I think one of the things that, you know, I've seen from talking to different people and their experiences in different workplaces, you know, a lot of times the disconnect between like that work-life balance and how that plays into getting the best out of someone is so strong.
Absolutely.
That people miss, and then you end up destroying people in the pursuit of, you know, the bottom line, but then you break the thing down from the inside out. But that kind of leads me into my next question. You know, obviously you've been working in this space for a while now, and even just given your background in HR, but looking at, you know, as you've worked with different organizations, what would you say are the top two culture or leadership misalignments that you've seen as you've done your work?
Mm.
Don't point no fingers, don't call no names.
No, just general.
What are we seeing?
Lack of self-awareness.
Mm.
That is the top thing. Lack of self-awareness. You know, research has even shown that whereas 90% of people say that they're self-aware, leaders say that they're self-aware, only 10 to 15% really are. Why? Because when we focus on results, we get bogged down with results.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see the people.
Yeah.
And we definitely don't see ourselves.
Yeah.
Because then the focus then becomes something more tangible.
Mm-hmm.
And just as you made the point about the work-life balance, that's absent. Because you're so driven about profits, so driven by results, that you don't take the time to really see how you are impacting results. So when we don't see, self-awareness is something that can elude us very quick, very easily, very easily. You know, I do a test a lot. I go into a room, I'm working with a group, and I say to them, quickly, write down your five strengths. People are looking everywhere, out the door, in the ceiling, in their hands, like, gee, I never thought about that. Okay, what do you need to work on? What's the first thing you need to work on in your life? In your technical skills, your soft skills, etc. Why? Because we don't take the time.
That in and of itself shows the lack of self-awareness.
That's what self-awareness is. Understanding your strengths, your weaknesses, where your passion lies, tapping into your purpose, and then looking at the opportunities that you have to thrive in those areas, right?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing, leaders that lack self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, and it ties into that, is the rest of it. The rest of what emotional intelligence is, where people or leaders are so strung out on their IQ that the EQ fails, and they don't understand that it's a skill that they can learn, that they need to learn,
and that they can invest in,
and that they can invest in.
I know from my experiences, I think one of the things that is equally challenging is when it's, I'm trying to find a delicate word, and all of the, it's just, it's not, it's when it's two-faced and it's hypocritical, right? Whereas you say, we are people first, you know, your human resources are our most important resource, and you say everything that you're supposed to say, but all of the doing reflects the exact opposite. And sometimes I wonder if an organization would even be better if you just knew what you were dealing with. Like, if I know you're cutthroat, and that's what we approach, because then you know, sometimes it's just knowing, right? Yeah. Knowing is enough. If we just say we cutthroat and this is the nature of the business,
so then I know,
fine. Right? I know that. I know
I'm
how to
not
operate.
Blindsided.
Right. I'm not going to play cutesy. Right. I know what it is. But when you give me the fluff and it's like, oh, we care about our people and that, and then when you see that, oh, it's not. I think I find that sometimes that's even more damaging because people come in with a thought pattern and expectation, and then it's like you pull the rug out from under them, and now you're left like, oh no, this is really just, this is all just cutthroat.
Absolutely.
And they sold me a dream.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's as damaging, if not more so, than someone just not being aware and just being cutthroat, and that's just the way it is. Because then, like I said, people know, you know what you're dealing with. When you come in, they're like, yeah, it's cutthroat. You don't come in unless you know that you could deal with it.
Yeah.
So I find that that's an interesting part of this conversation as well, is if you're going to, even when you bring in someone like yourself, right?
Yes.
Don't do it for show. Do it if you really want culture change.
Absolutely.
Do it if you really want to put that foot forward to say we are people first, because otherwise you go through this. I was at some place where they brought in a consultant, they did a whole thing, sequestered you away outside of the office, the whole shebang, right? You know, SAPOT was, even in the process, no one felt like it was real. No one felt like this was actually about changing anything. It was just to say you did it. And literally, a week or two later, you can see there was never even an ounce of this looking like a real change was being sought after. It was just to do it to say that you did it.
You checked the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lack of integrity, though.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So that's what I would say would be the second thing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole emotional intelligence thing, and then the lack of integrity.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So what led you into Live to Lead? This is a conference that you have coming up on October 3rd at Sandals Royal Bahamian, 9 to 5. And why?
Why? So when I was, and I used this word before, and I was like, oh my God, I used the wrong word. I said, when I was institutionalized, which is not what I mean.
And I know what you mean, though. It does feel like that. It feels like that.
I, you know, my reach was very much smaller.
Mm-hmm. It's limited.
Right? Limited.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I know what I know. See, the thing is, my coming into my purpose, it's not about me, you know.
It's always about the people that you can impact.
Mm-hmm. It's always 100%. About impact, right? Now that I have the opportunity to impact more people, I have to look for ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Live to Lead is one of those ways,
mm-hmm.
right? And in the past, to hear people say, Live to Lead has changed my life.
Yep.
I went to book the Spotted Sandals, and speaking with the young lady that was doing all of the documentation, et cetera, with me. She said, I know this name. She said, you won't believe it. I just heard from someone who said they can't wait for this conference because of how it changed their life. That's it. Mm-hmm. Even if it's one person, Alexis, if it's one person, then that's the assignment that God gave me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is because particularly what led me to the theme this year. Okay, so I hope I'm not running ahead of you.
No, you're good.
Okay, so the theme this year is shattering the glass ceiling of traditional leadership. Shattering the glass ceiling of traditional leadership.
See, this is why I'm mad. Tell me to get you on the show right now. Because the disrupt thing is in the same vein.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, me and Ahmad on a mission, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So, because if we've been going into these organizations and we realize that it's pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
this whole title and status mm-hmm. thing, and I'm up here and you down there, you the minion and I'm this one.
Listen.
That is pervasive.
And it doesn't matter what industry you're in. It doesn't matter what type of work you're doing. My wife was like, Alexis, you think this place is different, but they're all the same.
They're all the same.
And it's like, I think sometimes, I don't know if it's naivety or idealism, but it's like you want it to be different, but then you realize after a while, no, this is all really all the same.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. right? So that's what Live to Lead is. Live to Lead is this attempt mm-hmm. to normalize mm-hmm. what leadership really is.
Yeah.
And to transform the mindsets of people. And that's why it's not about one sector or the next. Mm-mm. We are inclusive, mm-hmm. right? It's about, I try to make sure that on our panels, we have people from the public sector, the private sector, mm-hmm. different industries,
yeah.
to bring home the point that, listen, we are people. People are people. The same struggles we go through over yeah. there is over here. But here's the place where together we can come to this like-mindedness. Mm-hmm. Now, it's going to stick for some people, and let's be real, it's not going to stick for others.
Facts.
Right? But we have to keep we have to keep the train moving.
Yeah.
Because at some point in time...
I don't know if you realize how funny it is that you said that people are people no matter what industry, but that's what they told you when you were doing the school counseling, was that people are people.
Absolutely. I didn't even tie it into that.
Isn't that funny? I should have listened, you know. So what can people expect from the event? Because, you know, again, now listening to your theme and understanding kind of what can people expect to get out of coming to this conference?
Ah, absolutely. People can expect to walk away from this conference with their mindset challenged. Mm. Challenged.
I like that. Not necessarily changed, because you have people who are stubborn, but challenged at the very least.
Right? Because a lot of people are coming, let me see what this is about. Mm-hmm. But when they leave there, I don't like to guarantee things, but I can almost guarantee. Based on the purpose, based on the mission, mm-hmm. and based on who is going to be in the room, the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
I was very prayerful and very intentional
yeah.
about curating a cadre of speakers that I believe can speak to the topic. One of the things is, sometimes, you know, you pick a speaker or you think about people to speak because that's who you want to speak,
mm-hmm.
right? But you have to know that we're not always with those people when they leave. We want people who we know that there's integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So when they go back, people say, well, that's who they had to speak. They don't know how they act when they're in the office.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
Right? Because I'm putting something out there, giving almost a guarantee that if you come to this conference, you can expect to be challenged,
mm-hmm.
right, into transformation.
Yes.
Challenged into transformation, right? And so we're going to hit those topics, those topics that are trending even. You know, we've been overcome or overrun by millennials
mm-hmm.
because that's life, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are evolving, you know? And so we're going to be talking about that multiculturalism in the workplace,
mm-hmm.
right? Multi-generational leadership. Also talking about how do you ascend? We have a CEO roundtable where we have people who made their way up the ladder, up the chain, but we want people to understand that it doesn't have to happen
mm-hmm.
without integrity.
Yeah.
Everything has to be based on values.
Yeah, I'm looking through, I have the website up now, looking at some of the speakers, and it's quite a lot.
Yes.
You have a number of people, both a mix of both local and international speakers.
Yes.
You know, what are some of the options for people to be able to engage? Do you have a virtual option? Do you have you have to be in the room? Like Amad told me you have to be in the room.
Yep, you have to be in the room.
Okay, fair enough.
You have to be in the room. What we do every year, though, is we have companies who say, well, we only could have brought 10
mm-hmm.
because of the work. You know, you can't yeah. disrupt the work too much.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So afterwards, we go and we do private.
Okay.
Live to Leads. We've been doing a lot of those. And so that's an option afterwards for those. It's not the same as being in the room because you have the whole
experience yeah.
you know?
Yeah. And,
but,
and the networking.
And the networking and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You get the spirit of the room,
yeah.
right? But we take it outside. We're on the road between November to February. We're awesome. On the road with Live to Lead up to February 28th, where we do private Live to Leads, and that's been really a game changer for a lot of companies.
Awesome. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill, Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-32-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
Yes.
So let's flip over quickly and let's talk about Live to Lead Youth. Now this one is of interest to me. I actually used to be a youth leader in my church for a long time. Before marriage and children and work and all of that kind of got in the way. Mm-hmm. But what made you look at it and say we need to do a youth version of this? And then what are you looking at getting out of the Live to Lead youth experience?
Wow. Okay. So Live to Lead is my baby, mm-hmm. but Live to Lead Youth, there's not a word to tell you the depth of, this is my responsibility.
Ah, I like that.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm so passionate about it. And the Lord has told me, you don't charge those children ever. You don't ever charge for Live to Lead Youth. Mm. Right? That's where he has me at right now. Mm-hmm. So last year we had 250 kids in Fusion. You know God will stretch you. So mm-hmm. now we're up to 350 at Sandals. And Alana McCartney, my colleague, my HR colleague, who used to be, her company used to be one of my, is still one of my clients. Mm-hmm. She is now on her own as well. And she called me one day and said, hey, have you thought about doing this thing for you, for young people? And I said, I already have, because I did one in January this year. Mm-hmm. She said, I'd like to. She said, have you thought about doing it in Grand Bahama? And I said, I don't know how to make it happen. I said, I thought about Live to Lead in Grand Bahama as well as youth. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know how to make it happen. She said, I'm your answer. So this year we have Alana McCartney, who is going to be chairing Live to Lead Youth in Grand Bahama. We're going to live stream it from the room in Nassau. When it comes to our panelists, she will have her own panel discussion happening live over there.
So you still have the experience of being in the room for that.
Yes.
Love it.
So we have a total of 450 students then for Live to Lead Youth. So let me put it like this. When I said, God knows exactly how to stretch us. When I tell you, this whole Live to Lead Youth plan, God is going to make a way. That's all I'm saying. We're seeking sponsors for it to mm-hmm. make it happen. It's going to be at Sandals, and Grand Bahama is going to be at Pelican Bay. But I know this is what God has told me. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate about it. At the end of the day, our topic, our theme is youth. And we have capital Y, capital O, capital U, small th. Mm-hmm. Why? We want the young people to understand that they were born to lead. Mm-hmm. You right there. Mm-hmm. I don't care where you came from. Mm-hmm. If you came from a color corner or Nassau East, you were born to be a leader. I don't care if you don't have the finances, your background, whatever it is. Listen, Gideon said what? He is the least of from the least tribe, mm-hmm. and he's the least of them. Mm-hmm. But we want them to understand when they leave there that it's on the inside of me. No matter how I've been acting out, no matter what people said to me, no matter who doesn't believe in me, we saying it's you. And then we want to turn it into service. Mm-hmm. So our theme is youth, born to lead,
mm-hmm.
right? Born to lead, called to serve.
Yeah.
We figure if we teach them that from a young age, by the time they get to live to lead, they're going to be the ones who are the movers and shakers at the top.
I love that. When I was in youth leadership, for a large chunk of it, we had a youth pastor, Pastor Cynthia Roll. And she always stressed the concept of servant leadership.
That's right.
And you know, I look at it, and one of the kids who was in youth ministry during her time of leadership is now leading the praise team in the same church. One of the other students is now the youth pastor in the same church.
Oh wow!
And I look at it, and you know,
they got it.
Those principles are really, really strong. It's funny, my family and I went out yesterday with two other couples and their kids. We watched the it's a cartoon movie telling the story of Jesus. I can't remember the name of it. I think it's Light of the World is what it's called. And the scene, it's like you read things so often and you hear people preach about things, but then when you see it visualized, it kind of changes. It opens up your mind so much more to it. So they had the scene when Jesus was washing
the disciples' feet.
And John was like, no, you shouldn't be doing this. And Jesus' response being, you know, those who serve will be the greatest among
That's
you.
That's right.
And so you see that, and then you tie it into leadership, and you realize, no, leadership is service. Because if you focus on serving the people that you are leading, you will actually get the best out of them.
Absolutely.
And if you drill that message in at a young age, which is why this is such a beautiful concept, because what you're looking at doing is you're trying to give yourself less work in the future.
Absolutely.
Right? Right? It's like you want to be able to retire and say, I ain't even going to do this no more, because we got this right with the foundation of the young people that are coming up. But that is really encouraging to hear, because one, I think it gets our young people to understand that you are definitely someone who can lead, but then this is the way you do it right.
That's
right. This is the way you do it correctly, and you think about who you're leading, where you're leading them to, and the fact that you're going about that with a servant's heart as opposed to I's the boss and you follow me,
right?
Which I think is still how a lot of leadership operates now.
Which is what they see every day. And so we're giving them, the world is giving them the wrong concept of what leadership really is. And so we're here to try and break that mindset before it even solidifies within our young people.
So that event, Live to Lead Youth, is slated for October 24th. That's correct. 10 a.m.
That's
to
correct.
3 p.m. And that's where?
That's at Fusion? The Sandals as well.
Oh, that's at Sandals as well.
Yes.
And you said 450 students.
Yes.
So I'll take an opportunity to help you plug. So if you are listening to this and you are someone who is in the space where you can provide sponsorship in any way, I'll let you speak to what some opportunities may be for sponsorship. But I encourage you to support Patrice and Hefsiver and the Live to Lead Youth Program.
Yes.
She's out here trying to do a great work in building the future leaders of our country. So if you are anyone who is a VP, a manager, a director, a CEO in the C-suite in any way, shape, or form, if you have your own business and you're interested in seeing the development of youth, I encourage you to take an opportunity to sponsor. What are some ways that people can do that?
Okay, so we're looking for cash donations. Mm-hmm. To cover the venue.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to cover the venue. We have a speaker, Mrs. Anika. Anika Roll. I know her as Anika Roll.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to kill me for this because she's married already. But Anika Roll used to work with me in private banking,
mm-hmm.
now in London as a wealth manager.
Mm.
But Anika has a passion for young people. She has a story to tell. And so we need to bring her in from London. We believe it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we're going. We also need donations in kind, swag bags, paraphernalia to put in the bags, notepads, pens, things for them for note taking and those sorts of things. And so if anyone is interested, 605-8899, that's our office number, 605-8899. We would be so happy to have a further conversation and to show you how you can assist us. We'd like people to sponsor an individual student, or even better, sponsor a school. Each school is bringing 10 students. We have 35 schools in Nassau bringing 10 students each. And we have 10 schools in Grand Bahama bringing 10 each, so that's 100 there.
Wow.
So
that is a lot of kids, a lot of potential impact.
And this is about nation building.
Yeah.
It's even bigger than that. It's about nation building.
That is awesome. So as we wrap up, I have just two or three quick hits and we'll get you out of here. What do you think is breaking in today's workplaces that better leadership could actually fix?
I think the thing that's breaking in organizations is lack of value, lack of values. I use the word value, but valuing people. And then I'm going to add an S to it and say values, because those go together.
Yeah.
If we get our value system right, we will value people. People want to know three things. Do you care? Can you help me? And can I trust you? If you can answer those things as a leader for the people that you serve, no problems down the road with your organization. Because I'll add a caveat to that. If people know those three things, you'll be surprised what they know.
That's true. Because then you get the reciprocation.
You get the reciprocation.
Yeah, you get the fullness of the reciprocation from someone who's working in your organization or working on your team.
Right.
For that matter.
Right.
What do you see as the most urgent leadership gaps in the younger generation, and what gives you hope?
The most urgent leadership gaps in the younger generation is, I want to take that backwards for a minute.
Sure.
There is a gap because they're very misunderstood. They're very misunderstood. And I think what the younger generation wants is opportunity. They want to be understood, and they want to feel like they're part of something that's grand.
Yeah.
But when they are left out because of status quo thinking, that wait your turn, or that what they have to, I was here first, total line, right? Or my title supersedes you, you just reach.
Right.
You sit small until your name call, right? So what that does is it creates a gap. It creates a gap. And that gap is what forces the younger people to feel like, oh, I don't belong in this environment.
Yeah.
Right? We have a talent drain right now. We have a talent, there's a talent gap. There is. A lot of the young people, I have millennials in my house. And so I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time, you know, because they're on jobs and, you know, they're experiencing it.
Yeah.
So I hear it firsthand, right? So how do we fill the gap? How do we fill the gap? Again, it comes back to changing how we see leadership.
Yeah.
You see what happened in there? Everything is tied to leadership.
It always goes back to that. I think one of the, you know, if we were being honest about it, and you see this on a global scale, right?
Yes.
This is in governmental leadership, whether, no matter where you're looking, you're seeing in different ways, in different instances, crisis in leadership, everywhere you look.
Absolutely.
You're seeing crisis, even in terms of succession planning. There's so many things where it's just like, if we could just get the leadership right.
That's right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, we need to change who the leader is.
No.
Not in terms of moving that. Sometimes you need to change who the leader is on the inside, right?
Right.
And changing how they approach leadership. Not necessarily saying, we just need to take this person out and put another person in. Because you're just swapping out potentially one...
From the pot to the fire.
Right. One poor leader potentially for another, right? So an event like this, events like, you know, the ones that you're putting on, both from the adult standpoint and the youth standpoint, I think the idea is to help and fix that before it even gets broken.
Absolutely.
You started from the ground floor.
Yeah.
So if someone is listening and they want to take one step after this episode, whether it be for their company, their team, or as a young person, what should it be and why?
What they should do next? Mm-hmm. Oh, they need to take the self-awareness test.
Okay.
It starts there.
That's right? On your website?
No, it's not on the website.
Okay. You can clip that. That's fine.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So how do they get involved in being able to take the self-awareness test?
So I will throw something out that any listener, It's very simple, they can go and do.
Sure.
Right? So you first need to sit down and find some quiet time to introspect mm-hmm. and reflect. Mm-hmm. That's so lacking. We talked a little bit about work-life balance, mm-hmm. right? Find that time. What are your strengths? Mm-hmm. What are the areas that you need to work on? Mm-hmm. Whether it's character, whether it's technical skills. Find your why. I spoke to a lady. She said, you know, I'm 65 and I still don't know my purpose in the earth.
Wow.
I don't know. She said, I really don't know. She said, I'm about to retire. I really don't know. There are a lot of Janes space. Like that mm-hmm. out there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Johns out there like that. Right? Because we don't take the time to reflect. Mm-hmm. There's something that says, experience is the best teacher. Because people think that their experience will help them along in life. Mm-hmm. No. Reflected experience is where change comes. Mm, you reflect on that and see what were the pluses, the minuses, what's the next step. So the self-awareness test, it creates a better version of you mm-hmm. so that you become a better version for your assignment. And your assignment is always attached to people.
Yeah.
Always.
Awesome. Thank you for a great episode of Vital Voices, Patrice Taylor. We look forward to your event. It's coming up on the two events in October 3rd for Live to Lead and October 24th for Live to Lead Youth. Just drop your contact information again for anyone who's interested in signing up, for anyone who's interested in sponsoring. How do they get in contact with you, your website link, all of that.
Okay. So you can call me at, our office number is 605-8899. My cell is 447-4525. Or email us at info@hefzibahr.com.
And nice. We'll drop all of that in the description notes for the episode as well.
Okay.
So that way people can just quickly jump to it from the YouTube page once the episode goes live.
Okay. And we want to send them to the website as well.
Yes.
Heftraining.com.
Awesome. So we will put all that in the show notes. Thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and tell your story, to talk about Hefzibah, and also to talk about Live to Lead and Live to Lead Youth. It has been an awesome pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome. So once again, our thanks to Patrice Taylor for a rich, practical conversation on leadership that lasts. If today's episode served you, please like, subscribe, and tap the notification bell so you never miss an episode of Vital Voices. Also, share this with a colleague, a parent, or a teen who's ready to grow, and check the show notes for links to Hefzibah, Live to Lead, and Live to Lead Youth. Until next time, stay informed, stay connected, stay well, and stay tuned for the next Vital Voice. Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.
We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Why you purchase?